Jason and Alexis in the morning on My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment, Everything Mary Tyler Moore. I'm Jace with Lex and the one and only Dawn McClain. 803, let's get started. I don't want to waste any time here. We have a great guest. Obviously, I don't need to tell all of you listening because we are in Minneapolis, St. Paul. We are the home of WJM, and we are the home of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and we're very proud of that. Mm-hmm. And our guest today is the one of the original writers for the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and at that time, it was a big deal. I can't believe I'm saying this, but it was a big deal to be a female writer on a network show. She's also a writer for the New York Times, and she's talking to us today about her memoir, Hot Pants in Hollywood, Sex Secrets and Sitcoms. And let's welcome Susan Silver to the show. Hi, Susan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm sort of awake. I guess I'm here.
Oh, I know. We appreciate it. I know. It's early because you're on the coast, right?
No, I'm in New York, but I flew in from Milwaukee last night at midnight. I was on my book tour, Milwaukee being the same city as Minneapolis. We know that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Well, and I mentioned, I want to start, obviously, because we are Minneapolis. I obviously want to start the conversation about Mary Tyler Moore. I know this is a broad question, but when you just hear someone mention the Mary Tyler Moore Show, you obviously experienced it different than we did. We consumed it as a TV show. It was your life. These were your friends. What do you think about when you think of the Mary Tyler Moore Show?
Well, I'll tell you, I had the honor of going to a small memorial for Mary that her husband had done last week in California, and it was just wonderful to see everybody. And you know, the weird thing is, or the wonderful thing is, it's lasted all these years, and it's so iconic. But when we were doing it, we were just having a good time and hoping people would like it. And I think it's amazing how it's lasted and influenced so many people's lives.
Did you were you there right from the beginning, Susan?
Yeah, they started mid-season. And I got a meeting in the middle of that first 13, and they said, if we get picked up, you'll be the first person we hire, and thank goodness they did. And so that was my first show, and I did five of them, and then I did a couple new hearts, and they were the best people to work for. They were the most fun and the most open, and they really included the writers, whereas most people kind of didn't in those days. They'd have you write a script and then go away, but they encourage us to come to the table reading and come to the rehearsals, and it was a wonderful place to work.
Oh, love to hear that. Susan Silver is our guest. Lex?
Wonderful. Yeah, trailblazer for women writers. Do you like the trajectory or the way that sitcoms are now? Are you enjoying, do you feel like there's more places at the table for women and people of color?
Yeah, the truth of it is there's a lot more. It's very different, though. I mean, the Writers Guild has a particular problem. Now they do writers' rooms where they'll only hire maybe 6-7 people to work on a show, and a lot of people can't get work. But there's so many more outlets to do it. And so you can kind of, you know, find your way, not on the traditional way, if you want to start on, you know, YouTube or whatever. And so there's more opportunity, I think. And certainly women have come into their own. So many great women have their own shows and are the producers, and you know, there's some really good. Veep is my favorite show now.
Oh,
I had the
Susan.
Yeah.
Susan, I was just having this conversation. I mean, look, you can't go into it if you don't like cuss words. I'll just say that. But forget that. I mean, it's not used gratuitously. It is, isn't it? Don't you think Julia Louis-Dreyfus is kind of is like this generation's Mary and Carol and Lucy? She's like a
everybody
queen of
put together. You know, I had occasion to meet her recently, and I said, whenever anybody asks me now, what show do I love? That's the one I love, because the writing is so unbelievable, and the acting is amazing, and it's that kind of once-in-a-lifetime merger of every element, plus it's what we're kind of going through in real life, which is so scary, that we need to laugh.
The book is called Hot Pants in Hollywood. Susan, I the reason I asked you, I want to go back to the Mary Tyler Moore Show real quick, obviously, again, because we're protective of Mary because it's obviously, you know, Minneapolis. You were there from the beginning. So I watched the great documentary that was done with the DVD release. And I don't think a lot of people know this. And is the rumors true that the first time you guys shot the pilot, the air conditioning was out, and it was referred to as, like, what, Black Sunday or Black Monday. Right, Susan? Am I right with that story?
I don't know about that. I wasn't there for the pilot, but it sounds amusing. I don't know. I mean, who told you that? Was it the dirt people in your segment? I want to know, Jason.
No, it was actually Ed Asner's son produced that documentary, and they said that the pilot, it's one of my favorite behind-the-scenes story. They said the first time they had the audience come in, the air conditioning wasn't working, and nobody laughed. And they, like,
oh my God.
Yeah, and they had to go back and reshoot. Susan, I love that I'm telling you a story about the show. Yes. This is the best interview ever.
And then I can tell you my Bill Cosby story, but hey, we don't have time for that.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Susan,
you did actually, this is Dawn, the producer here, you did have an encounter with Elvis as well, where he invited you to his home. Can you quickly tell us about that?
Yeah, I was an extra in the movies, and I am the showgirl standing behind Elvis and Anne Margaret. It's so bizarre.
Oh,
in Viva Las Vegas. And he had these six guys hanging out with him all the time, and they said, Elvis is having a party, and he wants you to come tonight. I said, oh, okay. So I thought, well, I'll get there a little late because I don't want to be the first one. And I drove up to this big gate at Bel Air, and the gate opened, and there was one car there, Elvis's convertible. So I backed out of the driveway and left.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a party of two, and I wasn't ready for that.
Oh, bless your heart. And that's in your memoir, those stories and
so many
and
of those stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Susan, we could talk to you forever.
We're already
freaking out of time. And I we love you. We love the show. And thanks for, literally building a bridge that women in the entertainment industry are walking over now, and thanks for blazing that trail.
Well, thank you, and if people go to the website, which is www.hotpantsinhollywood, they can get a free chapter.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Well, we'll go right
now.
Yeah,
and then if they like it, they can buy the book, but they'll have the free chapter. It's a little naughty, but hey.
Hey, we're a little naughty, Susan. Who cares?
I know you are.
Funny.
We are. Susan Silver, everybody. Thank you so much, Susan. The book, again, is called Hot Pants in Hollywood, Sex, Secrets, and Sitcoms. So,
fun.
Oh, I love that. I love that she didn't know that story. That's hysterical. I'm such a nerd. I am such a freaking nerd that I watch all these documentaries.
I love how she questioned you. Are you sure?
Are you sure about that?
Where are you getting that story from?
I heard it from Ed Asner. Ed Asner himself. No, I'm not kidding. It's such a great... And I recently went back and rewatched it. And the documentary was put many years ago, I think in 06, 07, the first time they released the entire series on DVD, in the first box, they had a making of the first season of the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And one of the stories was that, you know, CBS was a little, like, they wanted to give Mary a show, but they weren't sold on the writers. They weren't sold on the creators, which now, I mean, they went on to become one of the most prolific producing teams ever. But and then they shot that pilot, and there was no air conditioning in the studio. Nobody was laughing at the jokes, not even the now famous "You've Got Spunk" line. And it was they call it, I don't know if it's Black Sunday, but whatever day they shot, they called it Black Friday or Black Thursday or whatever. So they had to go back, get the air conditioning fixed. They brought in a new audience, and boom, then it took off like a race car. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Wow.
So, yeah. And it's just one of those great stories of, you know, if they would have taken that that audience's reaction, you know, and immediately had a knee-jerk reaction of, oh my goodness, these people aren't laughing.
Exactly.
Let's change everything. Well, they didn't.
Luckily, they didn't.
They didn't. They held, you know, CBS wanted to.
These people are just hot and sweaty and ornery.
Yep.
They just want to get out of here because it's too hot and they're miserable.
Yep.
Yeah.
Barely listen.
They didn't like Lou Grant. They thought, and they wanted Lou to be nicer. And they're like, and the creators were like, no. That's Lou Grant is supposed to be gruff. He, you know, you're supposed to root for Mary.
Yes.
So, again, it's one of those situations where TV executives wanted to have a knee-jerk. And, you know, it's like, no, trust. You hired these people. Trust their vision. Just, and look, seven seasons later, it's, you know, one of the most revered shows in TV history. So
she wrote for Maude, too, guys.
Yes.
I can't wait to read this book. It's going to be great.
What a career she's had, too, not only as a writer and being one of the first females in the game and being successful, but she also writes a column, too, about dating and divorce and romantic adventures and her dating life in general. So it's all in the book. It's juicy.
Juicy.
Yeah.
Hey, we're getting a lot of several emails. The dirt alert. We said that George Clooney went into business with Julia Roberts' husband. It's actually Cindy Crawford's husband.
Oh, okay.
We keep getting tweets and emails and
very important.
Yeah, very, very important. No, but thanks to the folks that emailed. Yeah, Danny Motor is Julia Roberts' husband.
You mean Cindy Crawford's husband?
Cindy Crawford.
No. Danny Motor is Julia Roberts' husband. Randy Gerber is Cindy Crawford's.
Oh, and he's the one who's
okay, he's the one that went into business with George Clooney. Danny Motor was like a director of cinematography or a photographer. He's in the business but behind the scenes.
Gotcha.
But Randy Gerber.
I apologize, guys.
Oh, please. It's not that big of a deal. So anyway, 8:14. It's Thursday, and that means we have a Jason and Alexis deal.
Yes.
It's a good one today. What do we have, lovely ladies?
It's Wyzetta Cosmetic Surgery and Spa. You get 20 units of Botox for $130.
Oh,
and
wow.
This is for new patients only. As you probably know, Botox relaxes the muscles that cause wrinkles. And Dr. Erhard, he's an expert injector. He's going to produce a natural, relaxed look so you don't look like Courtney Cox.
Who regrets it now.
Regrets all the stuff that she's done. No frozen faces like Dr. Spock. Just beautiful, natural results.
There we go.
And
you can go, keyword deals for this hot offer.
Hot offers.
Yes.
Go to mytalk1071.com. And enter keyword deals, everybody, for this hot offer. There we go.
Oh, boy.
And Lex, why don't you tell everyone where you're going to be tonight? Speaking of good deals, what do you have going on this evening?
Rosedale Center. It's the shopping happy hour. So come on out, 5 to 7. There's some great retailers, 16 of them that are participating. Get 6 stamps from any of the 16, and you can enter to win $250. Just get your little passport at guest services. I'll be going around finding everybody, and I have another stamp. It's a little panda stamp. So you can actually, if you find me, you'll get 2 entries to win. And it's just really fun. Lots of great deals. All of the construction and renovation happens at night, but hope to see you tonight, 5 to 7 at Rosedale Center.
5 to 7. It is 8:16, everybody. When we come back, we love her. Elizabeth Reese will be here with the Dirt Alert.
My Talk 107.1. Everything.
Deplane.
Entertainment.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Welcome back, everybody. It is, wait for it, boom, 8:20 on the dot. Jason and Alexis in the morning, and that means it's time for the Dirt Alert. The Alert of the Dirt with Elizabeth Reese. Hello, Elizabeth.
Oh, hi, Jason. Hi, Lex. Hi, Dawn. Nice to be with you this morning. Okay, I've got updates on a couple of the big stories that we've been following for a couple of weeks. Number one, Bachelor in Paradise, and number two, Bill Cosby. Are you ready?
Ready.
Yes, let's do it. Okay, so here's what's happening in Bachelor in Paradise land. Corinne Olympios, who was at the center of the production of Bachelor in Paradise being shut down because of a sexual encounter between her and DeMario Jackson, when a producer said, oh, listen, something shady went on. I'm not comfortable here. They shut down production. They both lawyered up. Corinne was alleging that their encounter was assault because she was not in any condition to be able to consent. Now, Corinne's boyfriend saying he's standing by her. He says, I've known Corinne for over 10 years as a friend or a boyfriend. She will continue to receive my unwavering loyalty and support until I decide there is a legitimate reason not to give it. Well, here's the thing. He's not going to see her hook up with somebody else in the pool because that footage, I have a feeling it's not going to air, even though production on Bachelor in Paradise has continued.
Right. They're going to pretend that neither of them are there?
I have no idea.
Just weren't there in the first
place? I don't
know
what their agreement was going into the show. Maybe she was like, this is my acting gig. And so when I make out with people, it's just...
It's a character.
Fun. It's a character. Maybe that's what's happening. I don't know. So the boyfriend's standing by her. In the meantime, DeMario Jackson is done with the show. This is what TMZ is reporting. Sources close to DeMario say he has suffered from a lot of anxiety over the scandal after living under a cloud of suspicion for a week, I can imagine. Mm-hmm. He's even started seeing a therapist, and he's upset because his name will now forever be linked to a sex scandal, even though Warner Brothers essentially concluded he did nothing wrong. They reviewed all the tapes. They said absolutely nothing inappropriate happened, and we are going to resume filming of Bachelor in Paradise. However, according to these sources, DeMario is not going to be a part of it. That he was invited back on the show and that he doesn't want to do it. He wants to ditch his reality TV career for a career as an on-air personality.
Oh.
You and everyone else, DeMario Jackson, on Bachelor in Paradise, right? Right? And then in the meantime, when it comes to the cast, Corinne Olympios may have her boyfriend's support, but the rest of the cast not really feeling great about Corinne. They are on Team DeMario, and they think that she was not the one telling the truth. They are not supporting her. And this, you know, a lot of what we started to find out about how the rest of the cast feels about this started with an interview with Jasmine, who was also on Nick's season of The Bachelor. And Jasmine said that after the incident, everything seemed fine and that they went on shooting for 2 days after this pool encounter. And so everyone was so confused as to why production suddenly got shut down, because they were thinking, well, yeah, of course everybody hooks up in the pool. That's what happens on Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah. Hello. Again, naked people, strawberry daiquiris, and pools.
Yeah.
What are you going to get?
What are you going to get? Yeah, there you go. So that's the latest with Bachelor in Paradise. They are going to continue shooting, and but I don't know if this hiatus is going to impact the air date. It was supposed to start to air in early August, so we'll see what happens with the production company and ABC.
They should have just skipped this season.
I feel like they should have. I think this is really odd.
Not a good move.
I know. I think it's not a good move.
Wait a year and let the publicity simmer down.
Yeah, and then move on. Okay, so now we're learning more about the Bill Cosby trial. And this is interesting, and because this is exactly what I thought happened. The jury had 2 not guilty holdouts. Remember we were talking about this, that the jury was saying they're deadlocked, and I was like, I think they've got either 1 or 2 that's holding out, and that's exactly seems to be the case. There was a juror who talked to an ABC affiliate saying that almost all of the jury believed that Bill Cosby should have been found guilty. But there were 2 that were holdouts. They felt he was not guilty. They were not budging. They wouldn't move. And so that's why a mistrial was declared. And this juror says it got super heated in the deliberation room, and it was so small, they all just had to like sit there and yell. Yikes.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's really interesting. On the 3rd count that he was charged with, that Andrea Constand was unconscious or unaware of what was happening, the vote on that one was 11-1 in favor of acquittal, though.
Hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I'll stay silent on that one.
I know. But this is what happens in these mistrials. Yeah. I mean, when there's 1 or 2 people who simply will not budge, this is how it goes. And so here we're going to have to go again, you know? Right. There you go. Prince Philip is out of the hospital. That's good.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, aww. After a 2-night stay for an infection, he checked out of the hospital, and he was admitted on Tuesday, but he's doing okay. So that's good. He's 96 years old. I'm not always going to say that.
96. Again, people, 96.
I know, and I see a picture of him looking so cute in a top hat and a little carnation boutonniere.
Oh, man.
I know.
He's adorable.
He is
adorable.
And old people, so cute.
All right, hashtag rich people problems. Ready for it?
Ready.
Jay Leno's private jet is just too big for the Hamptons. That's the headline this morning. He is flying in for a gig in East Hampton, but his airplane has been refused permission to land by the East Hampton airport because his private jet is too big for that airport. He is going to have to land at another private airport an hour away and then drive. Can you believe the horror of this?
Wow.
I know.
Jet's too big? Wow.
Struggle.
Can you imagine?
I mean, it's hard.
I know.
It's all that space. You got to figure out what to do with that space.
I know.
Then you might have to get into a crappy car.
It's just really tough. Like a giant town car. Or like, it's probably a Bentley. What am I saying? If it's Jay Leno, he probably has some giant, massive Bentley picking him up.
Exactly.
Oh, rich people problems. Cameron Douglas finally got permission to visit his grandpa. So he is going to be allowed to travel to L.A. while he's on probation to visit his grandfather, who is, of course, Hollywood legend Kirk Douglas, who is 100 years old.
Can you believe that?
Whoa.
100 years old.
100 years old. So Cameron is the son of Michael Douglas, and Cameron is 38 years old and has had really some serious troubles with addiction and drug dealing. And he has been in prison for almost 8 years. He got out on probation, and then he was found to have violated that probation by having pot in his system. And then so he had to go back into court. Then he went back into court again, and his lawyers were arguing he's doing really well. He's doing these meetings. But a judge did approve his request to make the trip to L.A. to Kirk Douglas's 100th birthday because he has remained sober following that parole violation. That was the pot in April. He's going to make the trip in about a week. He has a rough go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know he's a tough one. He's a tough one. But maybe seeing his grandfather, maybe he can offer some parting wisdom. But 100 years old for Kirk Douglas.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Great.
All right, you guys, that's what I have. Have a great day.
Thanks to you, too.
Thank you. You can watch E! On Twin Cities Live today at 3. When we come back, the one, the only, Second Chance Romance.
Last night you were in my room, and now my bedsheets smell like you. Every day discovering something brand new. Well, I'm in love with your body.
Jason and Alexis in the morning. On My Talk 1071. MyTalk1071.com. Okay, we have just a few minutes before Second Chance Romance. So last night, y'all know I loved and love the character of Mamacita from Feud,
yes.
Betty and Joan. And the actress that played Mamacita was Joan Crawford's German housekeeper, who Joan referred to as Mamacita because Joan had returned from Spain and was hearing everyone say Mamacita, and somehow that just didn't seem
call
to
their
bother.
Housekeepers, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Any hoodly doodly. So Mamacita ended up being one of my favorite characters from Feud. Everyone loved her. And she was played by Broadway, like, favorite Jackie Hoffman. Now, if you don't know Jackie, if you're not familiar, you should make yourself familiar with her. She's freaking brilliant and freaking hysterical. As demonstrated last night on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. So to set the stage for you, guess who was sitting next to, guess who the other guest was last night with Jackie?
Who?
Ramona.
Oh my gosh.
Ramona. From Real Housewives of New York.
Oh,
who is is obnoxious.
Yes.
And Jackie seemed to have no problem
telling
saying,
all about herself.
Saying how obnoxious Ramona was in the most beautiful way possible. So Andy decides to play a game with Jackie called What Would Jackie Hoffman Do? And listen to how every one of these is a slight dig at Ramona. I hope you enjoy this as much as I did. Listen to this.
WWJD, what would Jackie do? Here's what, Jackie, I'm going to give you some examples of some things Ramona has done in the past. Tell me how you would handle them. What would you do if Ramona accused you of sleeping your way to the top in your industry?
I never said that.
You said something adjacent.
What would you do if?
Yeah.
I would say, thank you, that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said.
What would you do if Ramona threw a wine glass at your face and it cut your lip?
I would insist on using her surgeon.
Okay. I use Aaron makeup. That's why I've been skinned.
What would you do if Ramona fell asleep during a conversation you were having with her, like she did with me?
I would celebrate my newfound sense of peace.
What would you do if Ramona's guy just bugging out?
Oh, Lex, it is. You have to see the visual because, as you heard, Ramona keeps trying to defend herself, and it's like, no, silly goose, it's a game. Stop it. Just let her answer the question.
Oh my God.
Okay, there's one more. Listen to this.
Unpack your luggage.
Tour of her dresses.
Okay, hold on.
She'd unpack your luggage.
Celebrate my newfound sense of peace.
Yeah. What would you do if Ramona asked you to unpack your luggage?
I'd steal two of her dresses.
Yeah. She's funny, right?
Oh my God, yes.
Okay, what would you do if you were hiking with Ramona and she started crying in the forest because it was freaking her out so and said she wanted to leave and then she left in a private plane to go to a party in the Hamptons?
Celebrate my newfound sense of peace and freedom.
Thank you, God. I love it.
How good is that?
What a great pairing. I love it that he has that's just...
Oh, my goodness. She's so deadpan. I think that's what makes her. And she has that mama's... Well, it's her. It's her face. She has the same glasses. Oh, guys, you have to see this clip. Just go to YouTube and go to Andy's channel. Go to the Watch What Happens Live channel. It's one of them that was made available from last night. I would celebrate my newfound peace and freedom.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jackie, how I love thee.
Oh, what is... Did they talk at all about her next project? What's next for her?
No.
What's going on?
And I hope this, you know, because obviously she's well known on Broadway. I hope TV producers, again, thanks to Ryan Murphy.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's true.
You know, I'm a little mad at Ryan lately, you know, given Pride Month. I hate that a lot of, you know, it's all the same kind of gay type of gay man. You know, why don't you show some, cast some gay men that have some body fat? Thank you very much.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But I do love. I love him and I love what he's done for women over 40. I mean, he single-handedly has changed how Hollywood perceives women and how successful shows led by women can be. You can't take that away from Ryan Murphy. And I hope he does that for Jackie Hoffman. I hope Hollywood producers see how great she is and put her in more shows because she's freaking brilliant.
Oh, yes.
She truly was one of the best things about Feud. Oh, mamacita. Oh, mamacita. Okay, it is time. It is time for Second Chance Romance, everyone. This, there's really no way to bridge I'm just going to continue. I'm not even going to say anything. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go. I'm not going to say anything else. Yeah. Welcome to the romance. Welcome to three people that would rather be doing anything else but this. Welcome to Second Chance Romance. We're going to go looking for love in all the wrong places right now. Mm-hmm, Lex.
Yeah.
Dawn McClain.
Yeah.
Who emailed us this week?
We have Brad on the phone with us right now.
Let's go ahead and put Brad up. Good morning, Brad. How are you?
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Brad? How's it going?
I'm excellent. I'm excellent. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Well, no, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, taking this risk on love.
Uh-huh, on the radio. Brad, tell us your story. What's going on? How can we help you?
Okay. Well, I met Christy kind of intermittently. We would see each other here and there. We're part of a professional organization. And, you know, I eventually worked up the nerve to ask her out, you know, just for a quick small coffee date. And she said yes. So, you know, so we went out and had coffee at Denny's.
Oh, okay.
Nice. So, Grand Slam. You know,
yeah, well, you know, it was the best place, but, you know, she chose it. It was kind of close to a central location, you know, for us to meet. So, you know, I got there early, you know, I pulled out her chair for her, you know, I thought it was a complete gentleman. We talked for, you know, about an hour and, you know, and I thought it went really well. You know, I stayed away from politics or religion, you know, or.
You follow the rules, basically. You follow the rules.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think she's a really good girl, you know, and I'm sorry, I'm very nervous.
It's all right.
So, you know, I asked her if she would let, you know, if she'd like to see me again, and she said yes, and you know, that it's been like a couple weeks now, and I haven't heard back from her, and you know, I was hoping that, you know, maybe you guys could help me out.
Okay. Well, maybe, hopefully we can.
Yeah.
My usual question, because it just sometimes shines a light on some things. Did you feel that it was working? Did you feel the rhythm of the night?
You know, she really wasn't that talkative, but I asked her a lot of questions. You know, I may have done a majority of the talking, I guess, but for the most part, you know, I felt that it was a pretty good, you know, first date.
How did the date end? Any kissing? Any plans for another date?
No, we didn't kiss or anything like that. You know, we just kind of shared like a nice, you know, long hug.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, and then I mean, she agreed to a second date at that time.
And now nothing.
Okay.
Dawn, anything?
Do you have a weird pet or a dirty car or a weird doll collection?
Any of those?
Bad personal hygiene or anything?
No. Oh, no. Okay. I don't. No, okay. No, I don't.
Not all doll collections are weird, for the record.
We just have to always check under the hood there. We always have to just to make sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, this is what we're going to do, my friend. We're going to take a break. You know how Dawn told you what happens. We're going to take a break. On the other end of this, Brad, we're going to call the young lady and
Christy.
See if we can... Christy. And we're going to see if we can get an answer and figure out this. Does that sound good?
Yeah, it sounds great. Let's do it. Here we are.
Let's do it. That's right. Here we are. What else are we going to do, Brad, right? Okay, Dawn, go ahead and put Brad on hold when we come back. Part two of Second Chance Romance. Pride weekend is almost here, June 24th and 25th in Loring Park.
As always, My Talk will be in the Ashley Rooks GLBT Pride Parade Sunday morning at 11. We'll be on the party boat and want to throw some My Talk swag your way.
There are fun events all weekend, including a comedy show from Tig Notaro, Pride Night at the St. Paul Saints, and live music all weekend leading up to the En Vogue concert Saturday night.
Pride 2017, it's a love revolution. Learn more at tcpride.org. My Talk's participation in the Pride Parade is sponsored by David from First Equity.
Everybody's smiling.
A reality escape hatch on the radio dial. My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment.
So happy today.
Jason and Alexis in the morning on My Talk 107.1. I'm Jace with Lex and Dawn. Let's get back into it. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, part two of Second Chance Romance. Okay. I'm going to stop with the formalities because you're probably rolling your eyes. You know how this works, and you probably never thought in a million years that you would be on the segment that you've listened to. But hey, welcome to Second Chance Romance, Christy.
Hey, thanks, guys. This is going to be so fun.
Okay, well,
is it though?
No. Is it? Yeah. So you know the drill. I'm not going to sit here and act like you don't know what's going on. So you know Brad's listening. So do you know a Brad?
I do know a Brad, and I'm pretty sure you want to talk about our date, don't you?
Yeah. Well, that's how this works. Yeah. So go ahead and tell us, Christy, and then we'll bring Brad in on the conversation.
Okay, well, you know, Brad is a really nice guy. He really honestly is, but it was the weirdest date I've ever been on. And I've never ran into this issue before. that's how weird it was. So I'm pretty sure he's probably told you that we met and had coffee.
Yes.
You know, we've seen each other before, so we thought, it would be fun. Let's get together. Let's find out about each other. Let's figure this out. And so we went on a coffee date, and it was definitely a date. But this is where the weird part comes in. I sit down at the table, and Brad, he brought a book about bridge, the card game bridge.
Oh. And the board and all?
Is he 70? What's going on? How old is he?
That's what I was thinking. I was like, what? Okay. And then I thought, okay, well, maybe he's meeting his grandma or something, and she wanted a book about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just kind of let it go. And then we started talking, and that's all he talked about.
Bridge?
Was Bridge, the card game, about how amazing it was, how it was the best game in the world and everything.
How to move the pegs. Mm.
The entire time we were there. And he's trying to hold a conversation with me, and I know nothing about bridge. Absolutely nothing. And I don't really care to know anything about bridge.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a really weird thing to focus on. It was very odd.
Maybe he was nervous.
Yeah, because, well, let's go ahead. You know what? Again, we're not going to sit here and act like Christy doesn't know how this works. And Brad, okay, let's bring Brad into the conversation and let's just get this going. Brad, okay, welcome back. You heard what Christy just said. The whole bridge thing, first of all, say hi to each other. Christy, say hi to Brad. Brad, say hi to Christy.
Hi, Brad.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing good.
Brad, my friend, I know you were already nervous, so I don't want to make you uncomfortable, but you heard what Christy said. What do you want to say?
Well, I mean, I guess I apologize, you know, Christy. I mean, I was trying to, you know, make conversation. You know, it wasn't, and what I had, it wasn't a book on bridge. It was just, you know, a scorecard book. I just happened to have it with me, and I can't believe you don't like bridge.
Okay, Brad, here's the deal. It's not that I don't like bridge. Mm-hmm. It's that I really, truthfully, don't care about it.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I made that clear during the date. I kept trying to change the subject.
I mean, that's okay. I mean, but how do you know that? I mean, if you don't know anything about it, how do you know that you wouldn't like it or you wouldn't care about it?
Oh, man.
Well, oh, my God, Brad.
Do you see what she's saying, though? Do you see it's not necessarily just the bridge, the game. It's just that was the sole topic of what you shared.
Well, I mean, it's over a 600-year-old game. I mean, people enjoy the game. it's a popular game, you know.
What are you, Brad? I mean, seriously, do you recruit for the Bridge Association of the World? Like, what is just happening? I don't know bridge. I don't play bridge. And you know what? I am good with that. I'm good.
I think, Brad, we always try to help in these situations. It's just one of those things where, you know, different things float other people's boats. And maybe the fact that it seemed to, according to Christy, seemed to dominate so much of the conversation that it was just a little odd to her. Nothing personal, nothing against bridge itself.
Yeah.
But when one thing dominates a conversation, a first conversation, and it's something that doesn't interest in the other person, you can understand how and why it might... it might ring a little weird. That you get what I mean?
I expected it, you know, to spark conversation. She wasn't really talking much. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things to be said about it. You know, the game was originally called Whisk, and it was changed to Bridge.
Totally. Okay, yeah. But totally. So basically, I'm helping you out here. You were just trying to fill the space with things that reflected your likes, right? You were talking about things you liked because there was no other thing. There was no other conversation, right? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. I mean, I was, you know,
and it just happened to be bridge.
The only thing that you liked. That was the only thing. I tried to bring up different subjects all the time, and you kept bringing it back to bridge. I don't even know how you do that, but you kept bringing it back to it.
Yeah, I mean, your favorite architect, Frank Lloyd Wright, loved the game bridge, and he used to play it all the time.
Okay, Brad, now you're being sassy.
I love it.
Let's end this. Let's just, Lex, please ask the question.
Okay, guys. Hey, you want to go on a second date? We'll pay?
No, you know what? No, Brad, you're a very nice guy, but we are not a match.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for someone under 60 who wants to talk about bridge for an hour, especially on a first date, good luck, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Now what? You're insulting people over 60?
No, it's just a It's just a turn of phrase. It's just a joke. Okay, we're gonna end this because I need a drink.
Thank you, guys. No second
guys,
chance.
No.
I'm getting bridge confused with cribbage.
Okay.
We're back live.
We're leaving that again.
Yeah. That didn't end well. I mean, look, nothing against bridge.
No,
I mean, seriously, people have their hobbies. My husband's family plays cribbage, but you just can't make that the dominating conversation piece, you know, in your first conversation with people. You can't do that. Yeah. I think that's going to do it. Lex, remind people again one more time.
Yes.
Where are you tonight?
Rosedale Center, 5 to 7 for the happy hour shopping. You could win $250 and hang out and have fun. Lots of great deals and steals and deals tonight. So hope to see you there.
Laura and Julie is going to be live at Red Rabbit tonight, too.
Yes.
I'll be doing a puppet show on the corner of Hennepin and 6. So if you want to come see that, too, on 7 o'clock.
Yeah. What play are you doing today?
I'm doing Rapunzel.
Nice.
If you're a kid being bullied, go out there and be yourself because nobody can tell you you're doing it wrong. Stay tuned for Donna and Marley. Bye, everybody.
You see him braiding his hair. I'm
not braiding my hair, girl. I'm braiding something
the
else.
The puppet's hair. Right.
Those would be tiny braids.
I don't call it a puppet dog.
Oh, God.
My Talk 107.1. Everything.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Entertainment.